We are in D&C section 44 today, six verses, big change from the other sections that we've covered. But I did feel it was had enough in here that was important and struck me that I felt there was ample to cover even in these six verses. And I guess the biggest thing is I just love General Conference. And I'm amazed how every 6 months I am just at the point where I am starving for what they have to say. My heart is so longing for what new words, what new talks, what new counsel, what new guidance they're going to give, even though nothing revolutionary is ever said. We're always told the same things. Repent, say your prayers. Read your scriptures, do come follow me, go to the temple, be kind, minister. There's nothing ever new. They don't ever come out with a new, hey, here's a new commandment we're going to give you. But I am amazed how each time I can pray and I'll have concerns or questions, and each time there is something that so, and most times it's more than one thing, penetrates my heart and speaks to me. And I just have loved going back. It's only been a couple weeks since we had General Conference. Our family was in Hawaii. And so the cool thing is there, it started at 6 a.m. And I would get up and my husband would get up and we would watch the first session, just the two of us. And then by the second session, our girls were up. And so they watched too. But I just love being able to sit and hear these men of God and what they have been guided and instructed to speak to us. And I have such a testimony of praying for them before conference to be led to know specifically what to say. And I guess that comes because so many times they have answered a specific prayer that I have had. And I know that they have done that for my children. And so I have such absolute assurance that these men are men of God. And they speak as if angels, words of God. And it is a balm to my soul. And so reading this section, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is about conference and how important conference is. So I thought there is ample to cover with this. I love knowing in the handbook, the student manual, it says there are four purposes. David O. McKay said the four purposes for conference are: first, to transact current business; second, to hear reports and general church statistics, which they do. And that's so funny because I couldn't say them to you at all because they just don't matter to me. I can remember growing up thinking, how many members of the church are there now? I don't even remember hearing that in this one. I know we're over 16 million, but that's all I know. I don't remember even hearing it. Third, to approve the names which I, the Lord, have appointed or disprove. And definitely, how many of you remember when we were all together, clear back when, and you would hear someone yell, are any opposed? And do you remember that was such a new thing to hear people yell out, I oppose? And that is one thing I've thought in the last couple conferences. Well, I guess COVID has cured that. No one's there, and they just tell us, you know, take that up with your authorities in your area. But the fourth is to worship the Lord in sincerity and reverence, and to give and to receive encouragement, exhortation, and instruction. These great conferences are called for the purpose of inspiring us to prepare for the battle. And man, that's how I feel. I feel it strengthens me for the battle. Strengthens me for the next 6 months of doing this. And this isn't at all the war that I thought it would be. It's a lot different war, but it is a war nonetheless. And the hardest thing is to keep my spirit feeling ready to fight. I'm not a fighter. I don't want to be a fighter. I want to have no contention anywhere. But man, I am going to fight for God. And that means that in our home, we battle. and that we do the things that they have told us to do to make sure we're wearing the armor and that we're protected and that our home is a safe zone. And man, how I miss the temple. And so conference has just been the biggest gift during this time. And I love that these verses, it's the fourth conference that they've had and their first in Ohio as they've gathered. And we're now a church of over 1,000. I think somewhere I read it was over 2,000. That's huge. We're 1 year. We're at 2,000. That's amazing. Okay. And one of the thoughts I had with this too is Elder Oaks. I'm listening to his book and I'm almost done with it. And he talked about what a heartache it was for him to hear as he was just coming home from the Philippines with his wife that Elder Maxwell had passed away, and how it broke his heart. And then 10 days later, Elder Haight did. And just the brotherhood that these men have, the responsibility they shoulder for us. And it is a brotherhood. And man, I love these men. And I'm so grateful for the sacrifices and how they have led their lives to lead us and to be the mouthpiece of God. So I love thinking about this conference and all of these people gathered to hear what the Lord has to say to them. Okay, in verse 2, he talks about that the Spirit will be poured out on them. And you know that's true. It's poured out when we hear conference. There's just something about it. My kids said, you don't have to watch in Hawaii, Mom. You know, you can get it anytime. And that's true. But there is something about hearing it right when it's happening. There is a Spirit that is poured down, and it is different than when I re-listen to it or when I re-study it and really pull it apart, which is so important to do too. But there is something about that Spirit being poured down, and I know that's true. When two or three are gathered in His name, there will I be. But man, when millions are gathered in His name, the miracles and the Spirit that prevails, and it's incredible. And I so miss, that's one of the things with COVID. I miss hearing the audience laugh. I miss hearing the general authorities. And it's cute in this small grouping, you can hear, and I think it's Elder Oak, say remarkable or great job. And he's always very praising the person. But man, I miss when they crack a joke that there's not audience participation. But I love that the Spirit does just pour down, and it doesn't, COVID hasn't changed that. Okay, verse 3, and it talks about they will preach repentance, the missionary work, and they are called these leaders of the church, and they will call others missionary work. That is what we're all here, all in this Latter-day Church. That is our mission, is to gather. And so missionary work is going to be a huge part of that. And the biggest thing, I love that it says repentance. And how many times are we going to hear that? And maybe one of these times it'll sink in that was the plan, that God knew we would have things to repent of. So get over it and repent. And I love that President Nelson said, repentance is the chance to keep changing, growing, and becoming. We are a gospel of hope, of healing, and a message of joy. And that comes through repentance. And that was just this past conference. I loved in the very first talk he gave, he said, I pray that you will identify the debris that should be removed from your life so you can be more worthy. And that's what repentance is. So I love that. Okay, 4, and many shall be converted. This is prophecy, right? When they go out for missionary work. And man, here we are over 16 million, maybe more. Like I said, I didn't hear the number. Insomuch you shall obtain power to organize yourselves according to the laws of man. And what I love about that is we do live according to the law of the land. And we've seen that very prevalently in COVID. President Nelson said, temples will reopen when local government regulations allow it. Together we are engaged in His sacred service. With courage, let us all press on in the glorious work of the Lord. But I loved that he said, when local governments allow it. He also said, I understand better now what he meant when he said, behold, I will hasten my work in its time. Over and over, I have rejoiced as he has directed and executed the hastening of his work, even during this global pandemic. And so that really gave me just hope in my heart. I find such peace in knowing I can trust the mouthpiece of these 15 men. And when I get overwhelmed and discouraged with how our government is going, just how divisive it seems. And I love listening and going, okay, if the prophet says we're okay, if these 15 men don't seem alarmed, then I can have peace that God is in charge and I will follow the prophet. And if he's saying it's according to our government, then I'm going to listen to that. And I love that. I think that is such peace. I know if we keep our eye on the prophet, his whole desire is for Christ to come as mine is. And so there's peace in that. Verse 5, that your enemies may have no power over you, that you may be preserved in all things, that you may be enabled to keep my laws, that every bond may be broken wherewith the enemy seeketh to destroy my people. And that's the peace. The path is straight and clear, and the prophet knows it, and God is in charge. And so the peace comes in knowing he knows the enemy, and he will steer us through. And that's what I need every 6 months. And man, I'm so grateful that we can re-listen and be re-fortified. And pretty soon after I've re-listened to it all, I will be able to study it, the written word, and even more, and get more out of it. And it's just such a gift and a blessing. Conference is just such a gift. Verse 6, behold, I say unto you that you must visit the poor and the needy, administer to the relief, that they may be kept until all things may be done according to my law, which you have received. And I love that is part of God's plan. As much as repentance is a part of his plan, so is administering to the poor and the needy. There is something to it that I don't quite know the secret, but such blessings are poured out upon us if we give. And it is our choice to give. And I love that. I just have been helping my mom get my dad's journals and his history together to make this book. And one of the things that's been really touching as I've gone through and edited is in his journals, he makes an accounting at the end of the year of the goals that he set and where how he did on those, but also their financial donations. And again and again, I read of my dad questioning his ability to provide for his family of 10 children, as things he invested in and things he strove to do with work didn't work out. And he felt the personal responsibility like he had failed. But really, reading it as one of his children and knowing that's life. It was nothing he had done wrong. It was a process of learning humility and growing and coming closer to the Lord. How obvious that is to me, but how painful that was for him. And yet, in the middle of all of that, he would go to the end of the year and write how much they were able to donate to missionary work and to the church fund. And he would say, I'm so grateful that we had the ability to do that. And I truly believe it was my dad's generosity, my parents' generosity, that allowed them the miracle of providing for a family of 10 kids, of paying their debts and paying off their house and serving 5 missions. I believe there's magic in that. And I'm so grateful that God teaches us the laws, the ordinances, the principles that bring us such joy and safety and peace. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. And I love that. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.